stay standing with me just for one moment, if you could? Everyone's ready to sit down. Hold on. We're going to go to 1 John chapter 4 in a moment. I'd like us all to stand as we read it together. But you know, before we go to God's word, as I was prepping, this thought came over me. You know, what we don't need more of in this world right now is information, okay? But what we do need right here, right now, we need more Jesus. Does that resonate with anybody this morning? Let me say it again. We need more of Jesus, church. You know, we wouldn't be standing here this morning unless God wanted to do something a little bit more of inside of us. And so I'm believing from the balcony to the main floor down here to those watching online right now that God would meet us in a real way, that we would not just hear Jesus and learn of him, but we would actually know him and encounter him in such a real way this morning. So 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7, it says this. It'll be up on the screen behind me. I'm reading out of the NIV translation. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another." All right, we're going to bow our heads and pray because we get to send down that this morning, right? "Let us love one another, for love comes from God. And whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another." Did you hear that? We ought to love one another. "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." Verse 16, "And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us." Bow your heads with me. Let's go to God this morning. Father, I thank you for this moment. It's a moment that is so great right now that there is so much weight on this conversation this morning, because God, we are standing in right in the middle of you doing something extraordinary in our lives, in our families, in our communities, in our schools, in our industries, in this church, God. I ask right now, God, that as we come to your word, that we would not just be listeners, that we would not just hear, but we would literally see Jesus this morning. God, we need to see you. Help us see and experience Jesus this morning, for we know as we see Jesus, we will be changed. Thank you for all that you've done in this church. Y'all said? Amen, amen. Go ahead, take a seat if you so rightly may. Thank you, worship team. Can you just give them a hand for leading us well into the presence this morning? I feel like this was a setup. Me being up here this morning, Brenda, she brought such an incredible word last week. Brenda, Jean, we just thank you. Wherever you're at in the world right now, I know you guys are watching. We just love you. Brenda, thank you for bringing such a strong word to us last week. This morning, it was like a month ago, okay? It was like a month ago. I was getting ready on a Monday for our incredible students for our student night on Wednesdays, that I really experienced Jesus. Now, maybe that happens to you all the time, but for me, it feels like God has got to work extra hard to get my attention sometimes. Anybody else there? Anybody brave enough? Yeah, I'm right there with you. And what he showed me on that Monday, is where we're going this morning. The title of my message is, "What's Our Assignment?" God, what's my assignment? See, go back with me to March 2020, right? March 2020. What a crazy time. I haven't been up here since then. It was crazy, crazy times, y'all. Like, while main grocery stores were being bought out of food and supplies and the shelves were bare, your boy here, Jordan, went and bought food from Menards. Like, that's how crazy it was. Sorry, JB, I know you like Menards. But was as even crazier as months went on, seeing social media and all of that, like the Facebook posts, the Instagram posts, but in all seriousness, one of the posts that really hit me hard was this whole thought and idea: this is where the church needs to lead. It's this time in our world that this is where the followers of Jesus need to rise up. And I remember thinking that, man, that really hit me hard. That statement really, really wrecked me, because if I'm honest with you, like I was back then, I said, yes, I agree, but how? Like, how do we live this out? Like, how do I do my part and lead well with those around me? See, in our student ministry, we're big on a couple of things. We want to know Jesus, and we want to create a better world. And what we teach our students on student nights is that they can take Jesus outside of the walls of church, back into their communities, back into their schools, their hallways, their lunch tables, to their homes, and create a better world. But when I heard that, this is where the church needs to lead, I was like, yes! What does this look like? I sat back then, and you might have too, sat back, and then you watched as followers of Jesus began to destroy relationships with one another. Friendships being torn at the seams. There's these comment wars on Facebook, to these proclamations on Instagram stories. And I was like, is this how we are supposed to lead right now? Sorry, I gotta take gum out of my mouth. Getting all worked up. I'm not throwing shade at y'all this morning, but with what I saw and then what I saw followers of Jesus doing, I was just, God, is this our assignment? Is this what you want us to be doing? Because what I know about Jesus and what I understand of him, believe me, I don't know it all yet. But what I do know is this is not who you are, God. This is not the Jesus that I know. And so fast forward to a month ago, I was sitting right up there in the corner of the balcony on that Monday, and Jesus completely wrecked me. See, I was going through a situation where I was desiring to hear from Jesus. And I won't go into all the details of what it was, but I'm going to be real with you. I came to the point in this situation where I had to ask myself, Jordan, you say you're for all people, but are you in this situation? I want to humble myself enough to share that with you this morning. Jordan, do you love people enough? Are you showing love in this situation? And then I'm sitting up there, and God came on me. I don't know why. I opened up my Bible to 1 John chapter 4. I knew I was going to be preaching on this in a couple of weeks, but I don't know why. Holy Spirit, let's just say that. Open up my Bible to these verses. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is, help me out, God is love. Yeah. Then I read a little bit more, and then this is where verse 11 and 12 absolutely wrecked me. Krista was even trying to call me during this whole time. She, I didn't answer, wasn't texting back. And it says, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. See, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made. What is it? What does it say? His love is made. Are y'all out there with me this morning? Is it just me? His love is made. Thank you. Those online, help us out because the people in the house this morning are struggling. His love is made complete. See, and that absolutely wrecked me. Like, tears running down my face. Like, it was an ugly cry. Like, I was back in the movie theater watching the ending to Walk to Remember. Like, it was bad, right? Like, ugly cry going on. It wrecked me. It says, if you love those around you, my love is made complete. And I thought, God, I'm not loving well right now. See, love is this funny thing. Think back to your younger days with me. Think back to students. I know you're students right now, but think back to your middle school and your high school days, right? You ever have a boyfriend or girlfriend during those times? I'm not advocating that right now. I'm just saying, right? You ever have a boyfriend or girlfriend during those times? I bet you said some pretty silly things. I bet you did some pretty dumb things all in the name of love, right? Guys, I bet you cried in the movie theater hoping that your girlfriend would see how emotional you are. I was there. Ladies, I bet. Never mind. I'll be real. Us guys still have no idea how you guys operate and work. Can I get an amen from guys? Right? But love is something. See, let me tell you how love is and was lived out in my life. See, I come near to things that are near and dear to me. Like I found a pretty girl at the age of 17. Knew that she was going to be my forever girl, right? So what does love look like in those moments? Love is burning a mixed CD with the song, Berlin, Take My Breath Away. Guys, husbands, throw that on after church if you're in the car. Let me know. Love is dyeing your hair black because you know she likes guys with dark hair. So you dye your hair black in her bathroom, in her shower, and you end up destroying her shower curtain. That's love. Love is friending her sister so that her sister would be so awesome enough to invite her along to the hangouts that you hang out at, because every time that I did, Krista would say no every stinking time. So you friend her sister, and then that's the way in, right? Love, can I tell you how much I love having great hair? Some of you might say no right now, but that's okay. I had a student a month ago saying, Jordan, I hate your hair. Love is, I can tell you how much I'm obsessed with having fresh mowed lines in my yard. Right, Krista knows, my boys know, they can't go in the front yard when dad mows, right? You know that. I say all that because obviously most of the time with the love that we have an idea on this planet, it's somewhat skewed, right? We're human and we attach ourselves to it. But can I tell you, can I remind you this morning what love is? Love is God walking across the cosmos to put on flesh and bone to meet you right where you are. It says, verse 10, this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice for our sins. This is love. I want to flip back to this hidden verse. I want to look at this undiscovered part of the Bible. Very unique. Rarely ever preached on. It's found in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, right? You can turn to it. It's going to be on the screen behind me. It's okay. I'm not going to look at it. I know it by heart. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting
life.
See, just the beginning of that verse right there really captures my attention. It really messes with me. It says, for I quote, for God so, he so loved the world. God so loves the world. See, maybe that makes sense to you. Maybe you can wrap your mind around that. Maybe there's no element of mystery to that because of your knowledge of God. But for me, things just don't fully make sense, okay? God so loved the world? What does that even mean? Like, the God that the Bible says, like, the God who says words and galaxies come into being. Did you know that the Hubble telescope has now discovered over 3,000 galaxies, of which we live in one? This God, he loves our itty-bitty tiny planet Earth. God, he loves the world. See, I want us to try to wrap our minds around this extraordinary reality that God not only loves the world, but he sent his son to die. Not just die, but he died with no guarantee. For who? For you and for me. I read John 3:16 the other day and I was like, hold the phone. God so loves the world. Like, this is not good. Like, this is my conversations with God in my head, I feel like. Like, God so loves the world that whosoever, like, God, whosoever, you sent your son to die for a whosoever. God, I don't know how to tell you this, but the world that you're obsessed with, like, God, you gotta stop. Like, I don't know how to tell you this. Super awkward. I'm just going to say it, a lot of them aren't going to reciprocate that love. Do you know this, God? Do you know this? Like, you need to be more picky here with the ones that you choose. You love everyone? It's crazy. He loves people that will never love him back. What? God, why the obsession with people that will never reciprocate? God, you gotta stop this, right? But he won't. He can't, you know. He can't. He literally can't help himself because God doesn't have love. God doesn't do love. The Bible says that God is love. Not all love is God, and love is not the thing that we worship, but God is love, and he can no more deny himself than stop loving humanity. He's so obsessed. He loves the world. 1 John Chapter 4, verse 11, he says, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. See, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another. Yes, I'm here to tell you, those that think different than you. Yes, it's those that maybe associate themselves with a different political party than you. Those that look different than you. Maybe it's those, yes, it is those that are in a different income tax bracket than you. So you know what I've learned on this faith journey? We can get so caught up in things, right? We can get so caught up in the things around us that I dare say we sometimes become no earthly good. We get so obsessed, but let me remind you with these verses, what we just read here, when we love one another, God is more seen than any moment, than any policy, than any post, than any word. If we love one another, God is seen. Are you with me this morning? Y'all are quiet. Because, I gotta say, I'm all about creating a better world, right? But if we can raise our hands on Sunday, walk out of these doors, and not love on Monday, church, we have a problem. We have a problem. See, when I choose you, when I prefer you, when I choose to love you, let me tell you what happens in those moments. He's seen. And I'm here to remind someone this morning that you have an assignment while you're on this earth, right here, right now. See, when we dishonor each other, when we disrespect one another, when we gossip about each other, when we intentionally hurt one another, when we're bitter towards each other, what we are doing is we are delaying, we are destroying God's plan. And when I was sitting up there, I was like, I don't want that to be me, God. I don't want to destroy, I don't want to delay your plan. God, humble me. Humble me to love others. See, love is the theme of this life. Love is the main thing of our existence. It's the very purpose for which we were created. And as I was sitting up there, I remember the Old Testament story found in the book of Hosea. Many of you might know it. I want to land on this over the next couple moments together that we have. I'm not quite done yet, so. It says 750 years before Jesus will come to the planet to solve the sin problem, God's extraordinary, ridiculous, somewhat illogical, unconditional love shows up in a man by the name of Hosea. 750 years before Jesus is born, Hosea is a prophet. He's immediately fallen a prophet by the name of Amos. Hosea, he lives in the northern territory of Israel. Now, many prophets, years before Jesus comes on the scene, they have some very strange, peculiar assignments. But dare I say, Hosea is given the most exceptional, most ridiculous, slightly embarrassing assignment. You'll find that most prophets in the Old Testament not only spoke their prophecy, but they actually lived out their prophecy. God, he comes to Hosea, he assigns Hosea, he says, Hosea, you're going to be a prophet. You're going to be a speaker for me to Israel. Hosea's listening. Okay. God says, okay, Hosea, this is your assignment. If you choose to accept it, I want you to marry a prostitute. I want you to marry a prostitute. Hosea must have been like, God, come again? That's right. I'd like you to marry a prostitute. I've read this a couple times. There's not much explanation, but God just says, do it. So Hosea, he marries a prostitute. What's her name? Her name's Gomer. Bummer of a name, huh? Like, really? Like, she must not have been that loved. Hosea picks Gomer, and things go well for a while. A few years go by, they have a baby boy, they have a baby girl, they have another baby boy, and it's 2 or 3 years, and it seems that their marriage is going well. Until one morning where this prophet of God wakes up, and And Gomer, she's nowhere to be found. Isaiah notices she's not in bed. He gets up, he goes to the kitchen. She's not there. He goes to the kids' rooms and she's not there. He looks in the closets, in the bathrooms. She's not there. She's gone. It's a single dad. Three kids. He's arguably one of the most famous people in all of Israel. Can you believe the level of embarrassment that he's facing? She's gone, and here I'm supposed to be the hope for Israel, and I can't even keep my wife at home. I'm not sure what happens right after that, but if you can imagine, there was probably some pretty dark nights for Hosea. But God comes back on the scene. He comes to Hosea and says, Hosea, here's the plan. Here's the plan. Go find her. Okay? And marry her again. Again? Yep, go find her. Whew. Hosea, he's a pretty incredible guy. He says, okay, God, and that's where we pick up the story in Hosea chapter 3, starting in verse 1. God says to Hosea, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. In other words, Israel is enamored by the things of this world. I studied a commentary from a guy by the name of David Guzik. He says that Hosea was smack dab in the middle of a time in Israel where everything was clicking. Everything was clicking. Everything was hitting on all cylinders for Israel. It was a time of great prosperity. And get this, love is a major theme found throughout Israel. It's people believe that one, that love can be purchased. Number two, that love can be found and discovered in things. Number three, that love can be found in self-gratification. And I read this and I thought, wow, this sounds eerily similar to the times that we live in right now. Like the concept of love is so convoluted, it's so twisted. I love this, I love that. I mean, you have me loving literally stripes in my lawn. I blame my dad. He showed me at a very young age. But God's love seems to pierce through the convoluted concepts of what we think is love, because guess what? This is not love. So God, he says, I will demonstrate to my people what love really is. One scholar wrote that other than the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, undoubtedly the story of Hosea and Gomer is the greatest expression and demonstration of God's love in all of Scripture. So Hosea, he gets the assignment. Go look for her, Hosea. He does. What do you think that's like? He's got to go looking for his wife where no man of God should go. Understand something. Hosea, he's this famous figure during this time. He's a holy man. He's a prophet. God gives an assignment to go down to the brothels, go down to the red light district, and I want you to find your wife. God, are you serious? So he goes to that part of town, if you know what I mean. How are you? He approaches people that were no doubt in the industry. He goes and says, Hey, have you seen Gomer? Gomer? Your girl? Yeah, like I'm out here looking for her. I haven't seen her in a while. Do you know where she is? I haven't seen her in a while. Like, yeah, that's okay. I'm just trying to look for her. Hey, have you seen my wife? Wait, she's your wife? Oh man, my bad. Like, I had no idea. I haven't seen her in a couple of days. Yeah, it's cool, man. Like, just trying to look for her. Hey, good luck finding her. Yeah, all right. Till he finally walks up, and where does he see Gomer, if you know the story? She's on the selling block. She's in the sex slave industry. She's being sold. What most scholars believe is that Hosea, he actually walked in on an auction. I want you to understand that he's walking in on an auction, and that's his wife. Hosea probably says, "Hey, man, excuse me. That's my wife." Oh yeah? I don't care who she is. She's mine, and she's for sale. That's the price. What was that like for Gomer? She probably can't even look at Hosea. She would never have fathomed that Hosea would come all the way down here, let alone pay the price of the auction. Does Hosea have to outbid other bidders? Maybe. As it happens, he ends up paying 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley. 15 is a significant number in Scripture, speaking of the divine energy of God towards the humanity. 5 is the number of grace. Silver is representing divinity. The bushels of barley is representing humanity. The gospel is right there if we'll look at it. He says, yeah, I'll pay whatever the price is, I'll pay it. I read this, and I was like, wait a second, Hosea. She's already yours. He says, I know, but I'll pay for whatever is mine. The Bible said that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and yet God sends his only son to spill his sacred blood to purchase what is in fact is already his. For humanity is the unique possession of its creator, yet he paid a price, church. We're already his. Yet he paid a price for you and for me. Then he pays, and Hosea proceeds to renew their vows together. That's what he's doing here in verse 3. Look at it on the screen with me. It says, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same towards you. Man, that's not what I would have said. That's not what I would have said. Then the Spirit of God comes on Hosea right there after he purchased his wife back, and he starts to prophesy about Israel and about the coming days. And what we see in verse 4, it says this. This shows that Israel will go a long time without a king or a prince and without sacrifices or sacred pillars or priests or even idols. But afterward, the people will return and devote themselves to the Lord their God, to David's descendant, their king. See, he's using David's name here because he's yet to know the name of Jesus. He's just doing the best that he can with the knowledge that he has. For they will call Jesus the son of David. He's speaking of Jesus' days. He says, in those days, they will tremble in awe of the Lord, JB, and his goodness, right? And his goodness. But can I tell you, those weren't the days that Hosea was living in. You see, throughout the Old Testament, people lived in terror. People lived in fear of God's wrath and his judgment. But Hosea, there he is, just purchased his wife back, prophesies about a new day, a new covenant, where there will be a king, and in those days people will be in all of God's goodness. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? Which reminds me that, JB, it's so awesome that you talked about his goodness earlier. It's his goodness that brings change. Who's Hosea? Who's Hosea? It's God. Hosea means salvation. Gomer means completion. Who's Hosea? That's our God. Well, then who's Gomer? Me. You. Jesus is my Hosea. He completes me. Nothing needs to be added when I meet Jesus. I am complete. He's paid the price for me. See, remember when Jesus was sitting with tax collectors and they were complaining to him in Matthew chapter 9? He's gonna go hang out with bad people. The people that are around him are like, why do you hang out with such bad people? Why do you do it? What does Jesus do? He quotes the book of Hosea. He says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have come to seek and save the lost. I have not come for those who think themselves to be righteous, but for those who think themselves to be lost and desperate. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, I am your Hosea. I am your salvation. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Jews who would have heard the stories of the great prophet Hosea. He's saying, I am your Hosea. I am your salvation. And I will go and I will search to the ends of this earth to reach you. I will pay whatever cost it is for you. Jesus is my Hosea. And you know, it's not all neat and tidy when you have to save Gomers. And what ends up happening when you realize that you're Gomer, it dawns on you that, yeah, there's more Gomers. And then all of a sudden it can get messy. This love is messy. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, it says, this is love, not that we love God, no, but that he first loved us and that he sent his son Jesus for sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. For no one has seen God, but if we love one another, his love, he lives in us, and his love is made what? Complete. If God loved us that much, and you realize that you're Gomer, you begin to understand what your Hosea, what Jesus has done for you, and you are complete in him, and you are accepted, and you are loved, and nothing can ever change your position in Christ, something wells up inside of you like it did on that Monday morning, and it says, you know what? I'm going to do whatever it takes to let more Gomers know, right? That's our assignment, church. I'm warning you that this gospel will wreck your plans. This message, once it gets inside of you, it changes everything. See, I wasn't planning on standing up here as a college kid, as a high schooler, preaching the good news. But here comes God, directing my steps. I love church. I love preaching. I love showing Jesus to students. And you know, I grew up a pretty good kid. I don't have this like crazy hairy testimony or anything. But when I realized that I'm Gomer, and if it hadn't been for Jesus paying the price for me, that I was doomed, y'all. The past 2 months has wrecked absolutely everything inside of me. Couldn't sleep. Kept thinking about this specific situation that questioned me, am I showing Christ's love in this situation? That's hard to say. Just trying, student pastor, trying to show love to students, and God rips my heart open. He ripped my heart open, y'all. Just ask me, would you? You want an assignment, Jordan? I'm guessing, church, all I really want to say to you is, would you go after Gomer if he asked you? Would you go after Gomer if he asked you? Church, what a moment we find ourselves in. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but would you allow God to step into your life and be your Hosea and show you what he's done for you so much so? You know, there are Gomers everywhere, y'all. God so loved us, we ought to love one another. My prayer, God, help us love the world. We don't need more information. We don't need more Facebook posts, church. I'm here to tell you. We need more Jesus. And he's calling us to love the world. I just want to love the world, y'all. That's speaking to you this morning. I'm just going to ask you to stand. If that's you, if you feel me, all over this building, if you're online right now, put something in the comments. If that's you, I just want to love the world. If that's you, go ahead and stand. It's okay if you don't. But these people that are standing around, we need you. We need you. We are 1 week away to the most crazy time I believe that we are ever going to face. What we need is not more information. We don't need policies. We need Jesus. Is anybody feeling me this morning? That's you in this morning. We're going to sing with the band in just a second, but just stand with me. It's okay if you still stand. That's totally fine. If that's you, I don't care whatever it is. Like for me, I'm just going to be the guy with my hand up. God, if you're looking for somebody, if you're looking for somebody to go there, God, use me. If that's you, stand with me. Put something in the comments if you're online that's to say, that's me. That's me, because we need you. All over this place, these times are crazy, these times are chaotic. Church, let me remind you that this people will be in awe of his goodness. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, just as you're standing here, whether you're in the house, whether you're online this morning, go ahead and close your eyes right now. We've got one more song together, but before we go any further, if you're here today and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life and follow him forever, I want to pray with you right now. He's available. He's your salvation. He's your completion. He's everything that your heart desires. He's everything that you are looking for. He's the lover of your soul, and he's the one that is going to fill the longing deep inside of you. If you want to follow Jesus this morning, everything that you heard here, and give him everything you have, if that's you, on the count of three, I'm just going to ask. I don't know if we've ever done this abruptly, but if that's you, on the count of three, I just want you to raise your hands with me. Nobody looking around. It's just me. If that's you and you want to follow Jesus this morning with what you just heard, feel free, raise your hand this morning. Their hands going up in this place. Their hands going up in this place right now. If you're online right now, if you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, just put your hand over your heart right now and say, Jesus, I need you. Come on, church, let's pray together. Would you lift your voice with me? Say this after me. Lord Jesus. Say it again. Lord Jesus. Here's my life. It's yours forever. From this day forward, I'm yours. I love you because you first love me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.